East of Eden by John Steinbeck, dramatized by Donna Frances Child.
I believe there is only one story in the world. Humans are caught in their lives, in their thoughts, in their avarice and cruelty, and in their kindness and generosity, too, in a net of good and evil. A man, after he has brushed off the dust of his life, will have left only one question. Have I done well or ill? The choice God gave Cain. Timshel. Kate collected the money Charles left her and put it in a safe deposit box at the Monterey County Bank. She was a rich woman now and dressed exactly like any well-to-do woman might dress. Except she always wore gloves. And beneath the gloves, the pain had started.
Aaron, can you help me with the couch?
Adam, meanwhile, leased his ranch to a man named Rantani and moved his family to Salinas. His land would not be fallow now, nor, he hoped, would his life. He was free. He would start again. He enrolled the twins in the high school there and got satisfaction from knowing they would get a good education.
Now, you take most kids, Aaron. If they know the answer, they hold up their hands. If they don't know, they just crawl under the desk. Know what we're going to do?
What?
You notice the teacher don't always call on somebody with his hand up? She calls on the others, and sure enough, they don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, first week, we're going to work like bedamned, but we won't stick up our hands. So she'll call on us, and we'll know. That'll throw her. The second week, we won't work, but we'll stick up our hands, and she won't call on us.
Why not?
She isn't going to waste her time calling on somebody that knows.
Cal, look. It's Abra, the girl we met last summer.
I guess it is. She sure is pretty.
I'm gonna go and talk to her. Hello. Remember me? It's Aaron, from when you came to the ranch last summer.
I remember you all right. You gave me that box that was supposed to have a dead rabbit in it.
It did. So you could make rabbit stew.
That's not what your brother told me. You put something alive in there that was gonna jump out and bite me.
Abra, I swear, there was nothing but a dead rabbit in there.
What do you want, Aaron?
I just wondered if I could walk you home.
All right. Here. You can carry my books.
Aaron walked Abra home from school every day after that. On the way, they would cross a field near a little pump house. There was a willow tree there, its long skirts hanging nearly to the ground. It was their hiding place, their nest.
You're awful quiet today, Aaron.
I guess I've just been thinking.
About what?
About what it'd be like if we got married. We'd have a house together, we'd go in and close the door, and it would be nice.
This is kind of a house. We could pretend we live here while we're waiting.
I guess we'll have babies together. I bet you'll be a good mother.
Why do you say that?
Take care of them as good as you take care of me. Why, they'll be the luckiest babies in the world.
Do you remember your mother?
No, I was a baby when she died.
Do you know what she looked like?
No.
You haven't got any pictures?
No. What are you asking for?
I'm just wondering what it's like not to have a mother. I guess you wouldn't know the difference if you'd never had one.
I would, too. I wish she hadn't died. I wish she was here.
Aaron, are you crying?
I don't know why. I don't hardly ever cry unless I'm mad.
I guess you just miss her.
Yes, I do.
Aaron, you remember that day out at your ranch when you tried to give me that rabbit? Well, in the buggy, when my father and mother thought I was asleep, they were saying your mother wasn't dead. They said she went away.
She's in heaven. She's dead.
Wouldn't it be nice if she wasn't, though? Suppose she just lost her memory or something. We could find her and make her remember.
She's dead, Abra. Father wouldn't lie to me. I know he wouldn't.
The growing century was shucking Adam out of his shell. A gas stove came into the house, and electric wires and a telephone, a gas water heater and a large icebox. But the truth was that Adam needed work.
Adam, why have you got all these cups in the icebox?
I'm experimenting.
Yeah, but some of them smell bad. I should throw them out.
No. I've been finding out what happens to different fruits. Fruit, pudding, bits of meat, cooked and raw.
May I ask why?
I read in the paper that they dug up a mastodon in Siberia. Been in the ice thousands of years. And the meat's still good.
I don't think I want to eat a mastodon.
No, Lee. Don't you see what this means?
If Adam had conceived thousands of ideas the way Samuel Hamilton had, they might have all drifted away, but he had only one. He ran into Samuel's son, Will, one day, and invited him to supper. Will Hamilton was a very substantial local businessman, and nearly every business proposition in the county came sooner or later to his attention.
I can't get over how much you boys have grown since I last saw you.
They sure have. Aaron here wants to go to college when he graduates.
Well, that's not for another 2 years.
And what do you want to do, Cal?
I like to try my hand at farming.
Nothing wrong with that. Country could use some forward-looking farmers.
If you boys are finished, you can leave the table.
Would you like another cup of coffee, Mr. Hamilton?
No, thanks. Keeps me awake. Now then, Adam, maybe you can tell me what you invited me around here for.
Well, I've been looking into refrigeration. Did you know the biggest market for oranges in the winter is New York City? But what about peas and lettuce and cauliflower? In a big part of the country, they don't have those for months. And right here in Salinas Valley, we raise them all year round.
So what's your idea?
You know, Will, if you chop ice fine and lay a head of lettuce in it and wrap it in wax paper, it'll keep 3 weeks.
Go on.
The railroads have got those fruit cars. I went and had a look at them. We could ship lettuce right to the East Coast in the middle of winter. I was thinking of buying the ice plant here in Salinas and trying to ship some things.
That would cost a lot of money, Adam.
I have a lot of money.
Look here, Adam. When a man comes to me for advice about an idea, he usually doesn't want advice. He wants me to agree with him. My father, as you well know, was an inventor. He had so many goddamn ideas, he forgot to make the money for groceries. Now, if you want to drop $40,000-$50,000, you go right ahead. Otherwise, let your damned idea die.
2 days later, Adam bought the ice plant in Salinas. The departure of 6 carloads of lettuce to the East Coast caused a sensation. If the project was a success, any number of businessmen were ready to put money into it. Adam's lettuce stood in the sidings in Chicago for 5 days in unseasonably warm weather. What arrived in New York was 6 carloads of green brown slop.
I brought you some tea.
Thank you. Am I wiped out, Lee?
No, you have about $9,000 left. And the ranch.
I still believe it can work. Maybe I can figure something.
Well, try not to figure something that costs money.
The twins felt their father's failure deeply. And if the businessmen snickered quietly at Adam's naivete, the high school students were much more cruel.
Hey, lettuce head! What are you doing walking home with Abra?
Did you find yourself a carrot? You could make a salad together.
Damn it. Why did he have to mess with things he doesn't know about?
If it had worked, everybody would be bowing to him.
Well, it didn't work. Now we're poor.
You've still got the ranch. Maybe we could run it together.
I don't want to run the ranch. I want to go to college. I want to get out of here.
Aaron, will you kiss me?
I'm stuck here for 2 more years listening to them call me lettuce head.
Aaron, kiss me.
No. Why?
Because I want everybody to know that I'm going to be Mrs. Lettucehead.
But,
Oh, Aaron, just kiss me!
Oh, Aaron, just kiss me!
When Aaron stopped running, he found that he was outside an Episcopal church. Without knowing why, he went in. The pains that twisted her hands were increasing, and Kate's once slender fingers were swollen and puffy.
Miss Kate, there's somebody here wants to see you, name of Ethel. She says she used to work here when this was Faye's place.
All right. Tell her to come up.
When Ethel came into her office, Kate barely recognized her. Her hair was graying, a front tooth was missing, her dress was two sizes too big. She'd want money. They all wanted money.
Hello, Ethel. It's been a long time. Sit down. How are you?
Bad, Miss Kate. Very bad.
Poor darling. What's happened?
Ever since I left here, I've had nothing but trouble. That new judge, he gave me 90 days. And then when I got out, I got the old Joe. I didn't know I had it. Give it to a regular. He got sore and busted me up. And the next time, that new judge gave me 6 months. Hell, Kate, you lose all your contacts in 6 months.
You've had a tough time, haven't you, darling?
You shouldn't have run me off like that, Miss Kate.
That's all in the past, Ethel. But listen, I never let a friend down. I want you to take this. You can use it to go to a new town and start fresh.
$40. I thought you'd see your way to give me more than $40.
How much did you think I'd give you?
Well, it's just I had this here dream. It was nighttime. The moon was out. And in my dream, I seen you come out the kitchen door. You went out the back and stooped over. I couldn't see what you'd done. Next thing I know, Faye was dead. I thought a lot about that dream. So one day I decided to go out the back, and I found a covered-up hole. And you know what was in it? Just some smashed medicine bottles and an eyedropper.
So you took him to the doctor to find out what had been in them?
Oh, I didn't do nothing like that. I just put that broke glass in an envelope and give it to somebody to keep it for me. I just wondered what you think about that dream.
What do I think? I think you're a worn-out old whore who's been beaten over the head too many times.
Don't you talk to me like that. I want $100 a month from you. Otherwise, the envelope with that glass in it could go just about anywhere.
All right. Here's another 60. You can count it if you want.
No. I trust you.
Where do you want me to send the 100 every month?
I've got a room at the Southern Pacific Hotel. You can send it there. I thank you kindly, then.
Eva! Could you get Joe up here?
Joe Valerie was just about the only soul in the world Kate trusted. He had escaped from San Quentin while serving 15 years on a manslaughter charge and was on the run when she took him in. He was her pimp, her bouncer, her loyal hatchet man, and she was his benevolent protector.
Yes, ma'am.
There's something I need you to do for me, Joe.
And how much did you lose, Mr. Valerie?
Pretty close to $100,
Your Honor. I've never seen this guy in my life.
And how much did she have on her when you found her again?
$96. My clerk said she bought whiskey and cigarettes from him about 6 o'clock this morning.
Judge, I want to see you alone.
Twice for prostitution, now for robbery. I think it's time you left this county. I want you out by noon.
I gotta
and
see you.
If you come back, I'll give you over to the county, and that's San Quentin.
This is a frame! I have proof!
Next case.
When he was quite small, Cal had discovered that if he moved very quietly to where his father was sitting, and if he leaned very lightly against his father's knee, Adam's hand would rise automatically and his fingers would caress his shoulder. It is probable that Adam didn't even know he did it, but the caress brought such a raging flood of emotion that Cal saved it only for when he really needed it. His growing restlessness drove him out to the Fantan games in Chinatown. He enjoyed watching all that money being lost, and occasionally won.
I told you this boy here is my lucky charm. You say your name was again?
Cal.
All this boy's got to do is sit behind me, and I can't lose.
Maybe you should share your winnings with him.
I'm drunk, George, but I'm not that drunk.
You lived in Salinas all your life, then?
No, grew up in King City.
King City? I used to be the deputy in King City. Long time ago now.
And what made you come here?
What makes a man do anything? 15 years ago, I met a Salinas girl I thought I couldn't live without. It turned out she could live without me easy enough.
You gonna play some more Fantan, Holman?
Nope. Tell you what, let's all go down to Kate's place. And don't say you can't afford it. The whole shebang's on me.
Oh, now you talk.
They got a circus down there, Cal, and it's a Lulu. Kate sure knows her stuff.
Don't cross the door. I heard she shot her husband.
She sure did. Plugged him in the shoulder and just ran off. I was even there when they questioned him. Adam Trask, his name was. And he just kept saying it was an accident.
She was no good as a wife, but she sure is hell a good whore. That circus will pop your eyes out, Cal. Are you coming?
Sure.
Cal came home very late that night. When I didn't hear him come up the stairs, I went down to find him sitting at the kitchen table.
Cal?
I know about my mother.
Then there's nothing for me to hide.
Why did my father say she was dead?
To save you from pain.
What was she like?
I don't know. You can only understand people if you feel them in yourself. And I can't. There's something she lacks. Kindness, maybe, or conscience. She was full of hatred, but why or towards what, I don't know.
What did he do when she left?
He died. He walked around, but he was dead. He loved her with his whole mind and body. What is it, Cal?
I hate her.
I don't think your father ever hated her. He had only sorrow.
I hate her because I've got her in me. Her meanness.
Of course, you may have that in you, but you've got the other, too. You wouldn't even be thinking about it if you didn't. Timshaw.
What's that?
It's an old word from the Bible. It means, thou mayest. When God spoke to Cain, he told him, thou mayest rule over evil. He gave him a choice.
Between being good and being mean?
Yes. Think about the choice you are going to make, Cal. What you're going to do. And if you ever need money, I will help you. I have $5,000 saved that I can lend you.
What if I did bad things with it?
That is the risk I take.
Aaron had converted to the Episcopal Church. He did not just go to all the services. He was an altar boy on Sundays and went to Bible classes on Saturdays. He pondered good and evil and spent many hours in deep conversations with the pastor.
I pray for you, Cal. I pray for your redemption.
I appreciate that, Aaron, but...
You have to triumph over sin like I have.
Can I ask what sins you triumphed over, Aaron? Because I haven't seen you do a lot of sinning.
Greed, envy, sloth, wrath, pride, lust.
You don't lust anymore then? Not even over Abra?
I know you stay out at night, Cal. Sometimes till 4 in the morning. I don't want to think of what you're doing.
You're so well, you should be a minister, Aaron.
Reverend Rolfe says that I have a vocation. I want to become a priest.
A priest?
What's funny about that?
Well, what does Abra think about that?
Listen, Cal, something Abra told me has been bothering me.
What?
She heard our mother is alive.
I bet she heard a crazy thing like that.
You don't think she could be alive, do you? Father said she's dead and he wouldn't lie. She's in heaven. Isn't she?
Sure she is. Oh, no. Listen, Aaron. I've been thinking. You know how you're always saying you want to get out of here?
I found a wilted lettuce in my locker yesterday. I don't think it's ever going to stop. But I'm stuck here for 2 more years.
Not if you took the college entrance exam early.
What are you talking about?
You could take the exam next June, and then if you passed it, why, you could start college in September.
I'd never pass it.
If you worked real hard, maybe you could.
I don't know.
Well, why don't you go and talk to the principal right now and see what he thinks?
You really think I could do it?
Of course I do. And tell you what, if you pass that examination, why, I'll try and make some money so I can help you through college.
All right. All right, I'll do it. I'll go and talk to Mr. Kilkenny this minute.
And don't say anything to Father yet.
Why not?
You can tell him after you've done it and make it a surprise for him.
Kate's hands looked increasingly mangled, and she wore a small silver vial around her neck tucked under her bodice to make sure her morphine was always within reach. Ethel's visit hadn't bothered her very much when it happened, but gradually she found herself wondering what she would think if a rich madam willed everything to a new girl and then died. Why were those medicine bottles broken and buried? What was in them? Ethel wasn't bright, but she might tell someone who was bright. Kate was sure someone was following her. What insanity had made her get Ethel kicked out of the county and out of her reach?
Who are you?
What?
You've been following me for weeks. Who told you to do this?
Nobody.
What do you want? Who are you?
I'm Kyle Trask.
Then you better come with me. Close the door.
Is it always this dark in here?
The light hurts my eyes. Why were you following me?
Just to look at you, I guess.
And now you have. Are you satisfied?
Yes, ma'am.
You don't look like me. You look like him.
I guess I do.
What about your brother?
He's got yellow hair, blue eyes.
Like me.
He wants to be a priest.
I guess that's the way it should be. Looks like me and wants to go into the church. A man can do a lot of damage there. When someone comes in here, he's got his guard up, but in a church, a man's wide open.
I think he means it.
Really?
Everybody loves him. He hasn't got any meanness in him at all.
How do you two get along?
Sometimes I work him over. Make him squirm or cry. He doesn't know how I do it.
It's because you're smarter than he is. How's your father?
I don't want to talk about him.
Oh, no. You like him, then?
I love him. Why did you shoot him and go away?
Talking to snot-nosed kids, I must be crazy.
Did you ever wish you stayed?
Christ, no. I got what I wanted, then I left. I always get what I want, and nobody knows how I do it either. See? You're the same as me.
No, I'm not.
Of course you are. Why wouldn't you be?
I wondered that a lot. I thought maybe I'd come here one day, and we'd talk for a real long time, and I'd be able to figure it all out.
You want to talk? Let's talk.
I don't have to. Leah's right. If I'm mean, it's my own mean. It's not yours.
You're a fool if you think that.
And you know what else? I don't think the light hurts your eyes. I think you're afraid.
Get out.
And I am glad you're afraid.
Go on! Get out!
After Cal left, Kate sat back in her chair against the deep-down cushions. Waves of nerves cruised over her body.
Daddy, no. Don't think for a while. Oh, the goddamn snot nose.
When Cal ran to the corner at Central Street, it was nearly midnight. A dark figure crossed the street towards him.
Hey, it's Cal, isn't it?
That's right.
I never forget a lucky charm.
I didn't forget you either, Holman.
That was some night we had, wasn't it? I'm on my way over to Shorty Lim's to play some Fantan. Why don't you come?
I should be getting home.
Just for half an hour? I can sweep the table in half an hour if you're there.
I'll give you a cut this time.
All right. Maybe half an hour. Okay.
At intervals, Selena suffered from a mild eructation of morality. The process never varied much. Sometimes it started in the pulpit and sometimes with the new, ambitious president of the Women's Civic Club. And gambling was invariably the sin to be eradicated.
This is a raid!
Sheriff Quinn was embarrassed to find that Adam Trask's son had been scooped up in the raid. He telephoned Adam at 3 o'clock in the morning to tell him. Adam walked the 2 blocks to City Hall, picked up Cal, and the two walked home in silence. Adam came in and sat at the kitchen table, so Cal thought he ought to do the same. In the silence that followed, Cal began to be afraid until resentment took its place, like a trapped fox feeling anger at the paw which held him to the trap.
Look, do what you're going to do to me. Go ahead, get it over.
I've failed you, haven't I?
What do you mean?
You were picked up in a gambling house. I don't know how you got there. What you were doing there. Why you went there. Do you gamble, son?
No, sir. I was just watching.
Had you been there before?
Yes, sir.
Why do you go?
I get restless at night, but like a alleycat, I guess.
You see, I don't know anything about you. I'm as bad a father as my father was.
Well, we don't think you're a bad father.
I don't know my sons.
I'll tell you anything you want to know. Just ask me.
All right. Tell me about yourself.
Well, it's not so easy when you try.
Then tell me about your brother.
Aaron's good. He doesn't do bad things. He doesn't think bad things.
Now you're telling me about yourself. You're saying you do and think bad things.
Well, I do. Do you want me to tell you?
No, Cal, no. Your voice tells and your eyes tell that you're at war with yourself. You love your brother, don't you?
Oh, yes, sir.
And you hate him, too.
I have hated him. And I've hurt him, too. But I don't hate him now. I won't ever hate him again. I don't think I will hate anyone, not even my mother, because...
You know.
Yes. Yes, sir.
All about her?
Yes, sir.
Does Aaron know?
Oh, no, sir. I don't think he could stand it. He doesn't have enough badness in him to stand it.
Do you think there's any chance of keeping Aaron from knowing?
No, he doesn't go near places like that. He's not like me.
Suppose someone told him.
I promise you, sir, I'll make sure he doesn't find out.
I trust you, son.
Adam's recognition brought a ferment of happiness to Cal. The poison of loneliness and the gnawing envy had gone out of him. In his new joy, he appointed himself guardian of his father's content. He wanted to give him some great gift, to perform some huge good task to honor him.
If it's okay, sir, I'd like to go out to the farm on Saturday.
Carl Price.
Mr. Hamilton, thanks for coming out.
Glad to do it. So, you're thinking of taking this place over?
Yes, sir. I want to make a lot of money, and I want you to tell me how.
What do you mean by a lot?
$20,000 or $30,000.
That's a lot, all right.
Enough to give my father back what he lost. He was pretty much wiped out by that lettuce venture.
Well, I warned him not to do it. But look, I'll be honest with you, Cal. You're not going to make that kind of money farming. And for anything else, you need investment capital.
I've got $5,000.
You? Where from?
I borrowed it.
What's the interest?
None.
That's a good trick. Well, I'll tell you what. If you really do have that kind of money,
I'm looking for a partner for a thing I'm cooking up.
What kind of thing?
There's a war going on in Europe, right?
Uh-huh.
Sooner or later, we're going to be in it.
That's what it looks like.
Now, when there's a war going on, there's always hungry people. And they're going to need corn and wheat and beans. Things that keep, that people can stay alive on.
Well, that makes sense, I guess.
What do you think the present cost of beans is?
About 3 cents a pound?
How do you know that?
You have to if you're going to farm.
But you're not going to farm, Cal. You're too smart. Now, your father's tenant, Rantanni, he's a good farmer. He's got nearly 500 acres under cultivation. Think about it. If we could guarantee him 5 cents a pound and give him a seed loan, he'll plant beans. And so will every other farmer around here. I have a contact with the British Purchasing Agency. I bet we can sell all the dried beans we can find at 10 cents a pound or more. What do you think? Are we partners?
Yes, sir, we are.
Then let's go up and talk to Rantanni.
While Cal grew beans, Aaron studied for his college entrance exam. He spent most evenings with Reverend Rolf, who tutored him and encouraged him in his vocation. One night, Reverend Rolf told him about a woman who had been coming to his church every Sunday for weeks, sitting at the back. When he asked around, he discovered she was the owner of a house of ill repute. "When a lost soul seeks the light," the Reverend Rolf told him, "it is the highest and most beautiful experience a priest can have."
Lee? Lee, wait till you hear the news. I only found out by accident. You think you know your own children, and then you find you don't know them at all.
Has some detail of their lives escaped you?
Today I met Mr. Kilkenny, you know, from the high school. He thought I knew all about it. Do you know what that boy is doing?
Which boy?
Aaron! He's going to take the college entrance examination next June and save a year. What do you think of that?
Remarkable. What does he want to save it for?
He's ambitious. Can't you understand that?
No, I never could.
Mr. Kilkenny thinks he'll pass. And Aaron never said anything about it.
He probably wants it to be a surprise. We shouldn't mention it until he does.
I guess you're right. You know, when he tells us, we ought to have a present for him.
A gold watch?
Yes, a gold watch. I'll get one and have it engraved. Just think, huh? A whole year's work ahead. I wish Cal had that kind of ambition. He should be going to college, too. He's smarter than Aaron.
A different kind of smart. He's still finding his way.
The war, at first anyway, was for other people. But then the telegrams began to arrive. Marty Hobbs dead. The Burgess boy from across the street, the handsome one your little sister was in love with, blown to bits. Adam was appointed to the Salinas draft board and agonized over every young man he passed to the army as if he were handing down a sentence of death. Beans had gone up to 12 cents a pound, and farmers wished they hadn't contracted for a lousy 2 cents above the going price 6 months ago.
Hello, Lee. Is that his cake?
Don't touch. It's your father's birthday, not yours.
It sure looks good.
What are you grinning all over for?
I got a check for you. Your loan, paid in full.
Hey, what's this? I didn't ask for interest.
It's better that way, in case I want to borrow it back again.
Did you make a profit?
$15,000. I picked it up from the Monterey County Bank this morning. I've got the liquor store setting over champagne, and we're going to decorate the dining room, too. Abra said she'd help. I better go wrap the present before she gets here.
Cal counted the 15 new $1,000 bills. They were so crisp, they made a sharp cracking sound. He wrapped the bills in tissue and tied it with red ribbon and finished it in a blob that was faintly recognizable as a bow.
You have to twist the crepe paper before you pin it up, Cal.
Hey, I twisted it.
Now that loop's longer than the others.
I think you better get up on this ladder and do it yourself, Abra.
You can't leave it like that.
You sure got a lot of streamers hanging up there.
Maybe too many, Aaron.
Say, what's that you got there?
A letter from the college entrance board. I passed.
Well, goddammit. Congratulations, Aaron.
I knew you could do it.
And you knew more than I did.
Father just got home. You can go upstairs and surprise him.
I will. Just as soon as I take a bath and put on a clean shirt, I'm going over to tell Reverend Rolf.
But it's Father's birthday.
I'll be back in time for the cake.
So, he passed his exam.
That's good, isn't it?
I can just see the tears in my father's eyes. I'm so proud of you, son.
What's wrong, Cal?
This was supposed to be my day, not Aaron's.
And you're jealous?
Yes. I don't want to be jealous. Aaron's never jealous. I can never be like him.
I don't think any of us can. He writes love letters sometimes. Only they're not to me.
What do you mean?
They're to some girl he made up in his head and put my skin on. Some girl who's perfect. Pure.
Are you mad at Aaron?
No. Not mad. I just can't find him. You give your father that money, Cal. You worked so hard. He'll be proud of you.
Happy birthday, dear Adam. Happy birthday to you.
Go on, make a wish, blow out the candles.
I still think we should wait for Aaron.
He probably got caught up celebrating. I mean, that was a hard job.
What was?
Why, passing his exams. Didn't he tell you?
Oh, yes, yes, the exams. Yes, he told me. The fine job. I'm proud of him.
He didn't tell you?
Yes, he did. He told me this morning.
You didn't know this morning?
If you don't blow these candles out, you won't be able to make a wish.
Make a wish? I can't think of any wish that's better than the one that's just come true. Aaron's going to college.
Make a wish anyway. The wax is dripping onto my frosting.
This is for you.
A present. Well, I wonder what it can be.
Happy birthday, Father.
Ooh. What's all this?
It's, I made it. To make up for what you lost on the lettuce.
You made it? How?
With Mr. Howenden on beans. We bought futures at 5 cents. And when the price jumped, it's for you. $15,000. It is for you.
You have to give it back.
Give it back? To who?
To the people you got it from.
The British Purchasing Agency? Oh, they're paying 12.5 cents for beans all over the country.
And give it back to the farmers you robbed.
Robbed? We pay them 2 cents a pound over the market.
I send boys out. I sign my name, and they go out, and some will die, and some will come back without arms or legs. Not one of them will come back untorn. Do you think I could take a profit on that?
Well, I did it for you to make up for what you lost.
I don't want it. I would have been so happy if you could have given me, well, what your brother has. Pride in the thing he's doing. If you want to give me a present, give me a good life. That would be something I could value.
I'm sorry, Father. I didn't know how you felt about it.
Don't be angry, son.
Cal! Cal! Stop it!
Stop what?
He couldn't help it. That's his nature. But you have a choice. You have a choice.
What are you making a fuss for? You think I killed somebody?
Cal!
The night was well fallen. Cal's mind was numb. 3 blocks ahead, he saw his brother cross under a streetlight coming towards him. He slowed his steps, and when Aaron was close, he spoke.
Hi. I came looking for you.
Oh, I'm sorry about tonight. Reverend Rolf and I got to talking.
It's all right. Forget it. I want you to come with me.
Where?
I want to show you something.
What?
It's a surprise.
Will it take long?
No. Not very long at all.
I don't like this neighborhood, Cal. I think we should go home.
Can't go back. I haven't shown you yet.
Show me what?
You'll see.
Hello, boys. Come in. You sure you two are old enough to be here?
Perhaps you, Kate.
Cal, this is a whorehouse.
Does she know you?
She knows me, all right.
Let's go, Cal. I want to go home.
Hello, Kate.
What do you want?
I've got someone here who wants to meet you.
Who is she?
She's the surprise. Aaron, this is your mother.
Why are you saying that?
Because she is. All this time you thought she was dead, and now here she is. She doesn't live in heaven. She lives in hell.
That's not my mother.
Sure she is. Same blue eyes, same yellow hair.
This is a whorehouse, Cal.
Oh, the best whorehouse in Salinas. Ask anyone. They got girls here from all over the country. Any girl with no money, no friends, no family, why, our mother here will give them a job.
You're not my mother.
I am your mother.
Oh, no. Oh, no, it's you, isn't it? It's you who's been coming to our church every week. You didn't come there to repent your sins?
Repent my sins? Do I look like someone who's repented anything in a life?
And why did you come?
I was curious.
There is sin here. There's sin everywhere I look, everything I touch. And there you are, sitting in the middle of it. With your ugly, twisted hands, like your ugly, twisted soul.
No, don't go, Aaron. They put on these circuses here. You should see the circuses they put on. Maybe we should stay and watch one.
The very smell of you makes me sick. The smell of Satan. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth, and she wipeth her mouth, and saith, I have done no wickedness.
Oh, don't waste your preaching on me.
I wish you were dead. Knowing I have your blood in me makes me want to cut myself open and bleed till every drop of it's gone. I hate you.
Why did you do that to your brother?
Because it felt good.
But when Cal came home that night, he did not feel good. He went to his room and he burned all 15 of those $1,000 bills he had tried to give his father, one by one, crushing the ashes in his fingers. His brother did not come home. He went instead to the ticket counter at the Southern Pacific Railway office and bought a one-way ticket to San Jose. When he got there, he walked a mile and a half to a small office on 18th Street, where he swore an oath and signed a paper. He told the recruiting sergeant that he was 18. In the weeks that followed, Kate's mind drifted among impressions the way a bat drifts and swoops in the evening. She saw the face of a blonde and beautiful boy mad with shock. She heard his ugly words aimed not so much at her as at himself. And she saw his dark brother leaning against the door and laughing. The pain was creeping in her hands again, and now her right hip ached angrily when she moved.
Miss Kate, I brought you tea. You want anything else?
Yes. Cut off my hands at the wrist.
I thought the medicine was helping.
It fooled me.
Maybe you don't want me to bother you right now, but I was talking to a guy in Kellogg's cigar store. He told me Ethel's back in Salinas.
Oh, she is.
Says she's been talking some crazy stuff about having this broken glass the police might be interested in. I ask him why, and then he says something that makes no sense. He says, does the name Faye mean anything to you? Not a thing, I told him. He says maybe I better talk to you about her.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Joe, do you think you can help me? If I gave you $10,000, do you think you could fix everything up for me?
Well, I guess I could if...
Did I catch you out there, Joe?
I don't know what you're getting at, ma'am.
Get out!
They all wanted money. Kate knew that. Joe was no different. After he left, she wrote a letter. Dear Deputy Watson, it said, tell the sheriff it wouldn't do any harm to check on Joe Valerie's fingerprints. You remember Joe? He works for me. Yours, Kate. Then she put it in an envelope, sealed it, put a stamp in the corner, and sent for Thelma.
Miss Kay?
I want you to run an errand for me, Thelma. Will you drop this in the mailbox at the corner? I want it picked up first thing in the morning.
Yes, ma'am.
I've not been able to sleep in days. I'm gonna take some medicine so I can sleep, and I don't want to be disturbed. I don't want anyone to come near me till tomorrow night. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Once, I thought Kate was a monster, and it seemed to me that it was so. But now I have bent close with a glass over the small print of her, I wondered if it was true. The trouble is that since we cannot know what she wanted, we will never know whether or not she got it. If rather than running towards something, she was running away from something, we can't know whether she escaped. Kate went to her dressing table and combed her hair, rubbed a little rouge on her face, and put on the pale lipstick she always wore. When she started to feel sleepy, she wrote a note which she left on the top right corner of her desk. It said, "I leave everything I have to my son, Aaron Tresk." The next day, the depressing news of the latest war casualties was pushed off the front page of the Salinas Journal by the fugitive from San Quentin who had been shot and killed by police while resisting arrest. Adam did not read the newspaper story. The shock of Aaron's departure weighed heavily on him, and his eyes had begun to trouble him until, eventually, I had to read everything to him.
You're rubbing the back of your hand again, Adam. Is it troubling you?
It's my circulation, Lee. As soon as I get the circulation back, it'll be all right. Is that the mail?
Yes.
Anything from Aaron?
Not today, no.
I still can't understand it. If he talked to me, I might have tried to persuade him against it, but I wouldn't have forbidden it. Why doesn't he write?
Well, sometimes in wars, supply lines are cut off and the mail doesn't get through. Do you want me to read you these letters?
No. I've got to do something about my eyes. I'm going to have them tested today. I feel a bit dizzy.
He felt more dizzy than he would admit. He could not move about the house without bracing his hand against the wall. He could not tie his shoe because his left hand was numb.
Cal! So this is where you've been hiding.
Hello, Abra.
Aaron and I used to come here when we were little kids because the branches hang so low that no one could see us. We'd come here and pretend we were married and this was our house. I haven't seen you in a long time, Cal.
Well, you never come around to the house anymore.
Guess there's no reason to now that Aaron's gone away.
Does he write to you?
He sent a card once.
What did it say?
It was just a few lines. "Dear Abra, I don't feel clean. I'm not fit for you. I'm in the army. Don't go near my father. Goodbye, Aaron."
I've hurt you more than you know. I've hurt everybody.
No, you haven't.
Our mother was a whore, Abra. She ran a house here in town, and I promised Father I'd make sure Aaron never found out. But that night, I took Aaron down there and showed her to him.
What did he do?
Oh, he went just crazy. He yelled at her, ran away, and now he's getting shot at. So now you know about me. I'm not good like Aaron.
Cal, listen to me. Little kids live their lives like a story. Like the story Aaron and I made up under this tree. Where everything has to turn out the way they want it. Then they grow up. Aaron didn't grow up. He wanted the story. He wanted it to come out his way. Even if he had to tear the world up by the roots to do it. I guess he just couldn't stand to know about his mother. Because that's not how he wanted the story to go. So he tore up the world. I love you, Cal.
I'm not good.
Because you're not good.
At 3 o'clock that afternoon, I was sitting at my desk. The doorbell rang. A black weariness fell on me, a hopelessness that pressed my shoulders down. I laughed at myself. I can go and find it's an advertisement under the door, or I can sit here and let my silly old mind tell me death is on the doorstep. So I went. It was not an advertisement.
Wait. I just saw Dr. Murphy's car leaving. Why was he here? What's going on?
A telegram came this afternoon, Cal. Your brother's dead.
He's dead? Where's father?
He's in his room.
Lee, what happened?
He came home tired, but I had to read him the telegram. That was his right. For about 5 minutes, he recited it over and over to himself out loud, and then it seemed to get through into his brain and exploded there. Your father's had a stroke.
How bad?
I don't know. The doctor said the left side is paralyzed, the right side partly. Probably there's no sight in the left eye.
Can he talk?
I don't know. Why don't you go and sit with him a while?
Adam's head was propped up on the pillows. His face was calm, the skin pale, and his eyes had great depth and clarity as though one could see deep into them. They turned slowly towards Cal as he entered the room.
Father? Can you hear me, Father?
Cal sat down on the straight chair beside the bed.
Can you understand me? Oh, I did it. I'm responsible for Aaron's death and for your sickness. I took him to Kate's. I showed him his mother. That's why he went away. Oh, I don't want to do bad things, but I do them. I'm sorry, Father.
Cal looked away to escape the terrible eyes, but he could still see them. He knew they would be with him, a part of him, all his life.
Cal? Where are you going?
I can't stay here.
I can't. You listen to me. Cal, you are going to stay here. Your father is sick. I don't know what's going to happen, but we can stand anything. We're wonderful animals that way.
I'm not. I can't stand it. I won't be able to. I'll have to.
Why, you mouse! Don't you dare suggest a thing like that! Why is your sorrow more refined than my sorrow?
It's not sorrow, Lee. I killed my brother. I'm a murderer, and he knows it!
Did he say that? Tell me the truth. Did he say that?
He didn't have to. It was in his eyes.
Then he will forgive you. Come.
Adam, I don't know what you can hear or understand. There's a damage in your brain, Adam. You may behind your eyes be alert and keen, or you may be living in a confused gray dream. No one knows these things except you. Can you hear me?
The blue eyes wavered, closed slowly, then opened.
Thank you, Adam. I know how hard that was. I'm going to ask you to do a much harder thing. Here is your son, Caleb, your only son. Look at him, Adam. I don't know how long you will live. Maybe a long time, maybe an hour. But your son will live. He will marry, and his children will be the only remnant of you. He did a thing in anger, Adam, because he thought you had rejected him.
Darling, you can't.
I have to. If it kills him, I have to. Your son is marked with guilt, Adam, almost more than he can bear. Don't crush him. Give him your blessing. Help him, Adam. Free him. Bless him.
Adam's breath came quick with the effort. Slowly, his right hand lifted and fell back down.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, dear friend.
Adam's lips parted and failed and parted again. Then his lungs filled. He expelled the air and his lips combed the rushing sigh. His whispered words seemed to hang on the air. Then his eyes closed, and he slept.
In East of Eden, Lee was played by David Yip, Adam by Robin Lang, Kate Holiday Granger, Cal Alistair Hankinson, Aaron Samuel Keefe, Abra Gemma McElhenney, Holman Nick Underwood, Ethel Anita Vitesse, Joe Gavin Mitchell, and The Judge by Jimmy Chisholm. East of Eden by John Steinbeck was dramatised by Donna Frances Child and is a BBC Scotland production directed in Glasgow by Kirsty Williams.